everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. Bob, my engineer producer on the other side of the glass, and I always appreciate it that Bob dresses up for this show. He's looking great in his tie. On this Wednesday, it is, of course, Ash Wednesday. It's March 6, 2018. It's also going to be, not only is it the first day of the Lenten season, but it's also going to be the warmest day so far in 2019 as we push into the mid-80s. Kind of a taste of what will be coming in the weeks ahead. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Of course, there's 24/7 listening of our programming at kvoi.com as well. We do the podcast thing. They're available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com anytime during the hour. If you would like to join in the conversation, our live line number 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to Ward 6 Democrat in the city of Tucson. He's Steve Kasachek. Councilman Kasachek, how are you today?
Doing okay, but I'm not real thrilled about the notion of it getting into the mid-80s.
Well, no, because we know what's coming, and of course, this will change your schedule as you your running schedule. You'll have now to continue to migrate to earlier and earlier times.
If it gets much earlier than it is already, there's going to be much sleep left.
Well, when you're out there running in the coming months, you may see some of these, what they call e-scooters. What the heck is this all about? The council signed off on a six-month pilot program. The vote was 5-2. You and your colleague, Councilwoman Shirley Scott, said no to this. What's this about?
Well, so first of all, I recognize that there is a limited value to these things. They're electric scooters. They can go 15 to 20 miles an hour. And the people who support them are saying that they're an alternative to an automobile. And for people who would otherwise maybe take a bus, and they're a mile or so away, they could ride one of these things and get to the bus stop. And that last mile sort of notion. So there is that. The problem that I saw and continue to see with them is that, number one, they're dockless. That means that you don't park them in a designated spot like our Tugo bikes that have a docking station. You end your ride, you end your trip, and you leave it wherever you ended. That's going to be a problem in terms of enforcement, in terms of clutter. And that's a concern that I've got, principally because these things are the vendors. There will be two vendors, and they'll be able to drop up to a thousand of these each in highly populated areas, and then another 250 each. So up to 1,500 of these things scattered around town. The reality, though, Bill, is that these things are going to go on 4th Avenue, downtown, around the main gate, around campus. And I say around campus because the university was smart enough to ban them on campus. And so we're sort of their beta test. Each of the areas that I mentioned to you are congested already with the streetcar, with buses, with automobiles, with pedestrians, with bike riders. And to add these things into the mix to me is going to be a problem in terms of, like I said, the clutter in front of merchants' doors, business doors. It will be an enforcement issue. People will ride these on the sidewalks, even though they're not allowed on the sidewalks. They'll do it anyway. Or they'll ride them out in the street. They'll be a part of the traffic congestion that I just mentioned. They got these tiny little wheels that are going to get caught in the streetcar tracks, and so there will be injuries. If you read the indemnification language that's included in the contract that we're putting in front of the vendors, it very clearly states that if you ride these things, you're subject to severe injuries, up to including brain damage and up to or fatality. So there are a lot of downsides to it in terms of the safety, in terms of interactions with pedestrians and other means of transportation, in terms of the clutter around the businesses. So I said, look, other jurisdictions have tried these and stopped The vendors are not particularly easy to work with. The way we became aware that this was even a possibility was when they floated on social media advertisements for employment. Now, their employees are not, you know, cashiers or that kind of thing. They're people who go and gather these things up at night, take them home and recharge them, and then go and scatter them around again in the morning for people.
What?
So, yeah, so that's their employment means. So it's got issues. So Cunningham voted in favor of it, but he said he was concerned because he was concerned that the people who are scooping these things up at night and then rescattering them in the morning needed to have some sort of what he called certification, so that they knew how and where to scatter the things. People in other jurisdictions where they have these employees, they've turned into, you know, fistfights over who gets what scooters, and you know, so because they're paid by the number of scooters you get, you recharge. So I see a lot of downside. I recognize the upside, but you know, not everything is black and white, and I saw a lot more black than white on this one.
All right, and are people that are riding these scooters, do they have to have some kind of a driver's license, an age limit? If they're in an injury, can the city be sued?
So no necessity for a driver's license. There is supposed to be an 18-year-old age limit on it, but there's nobody there when you check one of these things out. If you swipe a driver's license or something, you know, to activate the electric motor, no one's there to monitor or take your or ID. It's not like you get carded when you go into a bar. Also, if I go up there with my three kids and I check four of them out, and my three kids can be, you know, 10, 11, and 12 years old, and all four of us are riding. So there's no that's a part of the monitoring. It's a part of the enforcement. Our first responders, whether they're our police officers, have a whole lot better things to do than to go and card people on riding little scooters around. And our paramedics have more important things to do than going treating people who've gotten injured on them. And so as to the indemnification and the lawsuit, we have some pretty strong language in the contract that protects the city from litigation. But you know how people are. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to file a lawsuit, and they're going to do the scattershot deal, and they'll sue the vendor, and they'll sue the city, and they'll sue whoever else they can. And then we'll be in court defending ourselves and relying on the indemnification language. So, you know, so yeah, I mean, the vulnerabilities are out there. And again, given where the vendors will be the ones who choose where these things go, they're not going to use them out in Rita Ranch. They're going to use them in the downtown core where the population is dense. Another problem I saw was that the pilot program that we're talking about implementing to see if they work or not in terms of the concerns I've got, the pilot program is going to be in the summer. It's going to start in like June and July.
Ooh.
Well, the students are gone, and who's going to get out in 115-degree heat and decide to ride a scooter around? Mm. So we're going to run a pilot program during a time of year in a location where it's not going to be reflective of what you're going to see in October or November when the students are back.
I don't see the benefit to the city. Why? It just seems like it's asking for trouble. What good is it going to do? I'll tell you, there are going to be injuries. They'll make the paper. It's not going to be great publicity for the city of Tucson and downtown.
Well, I think that the Fourth Avenue merchants agree with you 100%. They don't want them on Fourth Avenue, but they will be there. One of the sales pitches, I guess, was that they can do what's called geofencing, where the first time we were talking about it, the geofencing was going to be to prohibit them from being ridden in certain areas, and so we could exempt Fourth Avenue. But the reality is when you read the agreement, all the geofencing does is it prohibits you from leaving it in a particular area. So, for instance, if I'm in the Sam Hughes neighborhood, I can ride through campus, which is illegal. I can ride down Main Gate and 4th Avenue, and if the 4th Avenue merchants don't want them there, there's nothing to stop them. And when I get done with my ride, I just drop it where I am, and I walk away. You know, I mean, that's the deal. So I don't see the upside for the city. You know, I have a feeling they're a fad. I don't think the city needed to participate in this to be a part of the fad. Even if they are long-term used in the city of Tucson, I agree with you. I think that we're going to see a lot of injuries, and And so I will be, when people call me to complain, the merchants call me to complain that somebody dumped 15 of these things in front of Caruso's on 4th Avenue, my answer is going to be call the mayor, you know, call Rahina, call Cunningham, call the ones who supported this thing, because I didn't.
All right, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat, Ward 6, is with us on the live line. But, Councilman, it's time for me to talk about a much more pleasant subject, perhaps.
The bakery time.
It is, Steve. And you know how I feel about Mona's Danish Bakery, and we are talking about good news. They are expanding. They're going to be going to a breakfast. They've got all the permitting going on, and they've got the new equipment installed. Everything should be up and running in about 10 days up at Mona's, located at the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Owner and Chief Baker Steve feels this is there's a need for it in the area. Folks can meet there before they go to work. They can just enjoy a cup of coffee and have a full breakfast, a hot breakfast that's coming online at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and they're located at monasdanishbakery.com on the web, and there's also a link to Mona's at buckmastershow.com, where we have links not only to Mona's, but all probably about 20 different partners, all of their logos and links at buckmastershow.com. Be right back with Steve Kasachek right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. The name of the program? Well, it's easy. Buckmaster. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat representing Ward 6, is on the live line. We try to bring the councilman on this program at least once a month. So much going on in the city. Roberta has been waiting very patiently to ask the councilman a question. Roberta is very concerned about herbicides being sprayed within the city limits of Tucson. Go ahead, Roberta.
Thank you, Bill. Councilman Kasachek, I don't know if you listened to the Christy Simone Monday morning, but a gentleman called in saying he had a great concern for all the children walking to school while he witnessed over and over again people spraying herbicides all around them. Mm. And you had mentioned to me something about banning all toxic pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers in the city, and I'm wondering if someone is working on that and where it is, since there are natural pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers available, and also homemade ones.
All right, let's hear what the councilman says.
So, in order, no, I don't listen to that show, but I am familiar with the issue, and that is the there's a group called Toxin Free Pima County. I've been working with them and have them in touch with our parks director, our parks department. Our parks director's name is Brent Dennis. Brent actually traveled over to Irvine, California after I brought this to a study session and we discussed it. Irvine, California has it's not a complete ban. They don't have a ban on chemicals, but what they do is they have a pyramid, and so when they begin treating landscaping, they don't default first to the Roundup. They start with the organics. They start with the kinds of things that you, Roberta, are describing, and so it's only in times of an emergency. For instance, if you talk to people out around the Desert Museum, they'll tell you that when they have a buffalo grass infestation, that they're concerned that if they don't kill it immediately, that it can start to take out some of the saguaro cactus out around there. And so what we're doing is we are putting together what I call an integrated pest management program. It will be, the emphasis will be first on non-toxic, on the non-chemical approaches, the kinds of things that you described, the organics that are available, they're marketable, and they work in many cases. And so they take a little while to become effective and get implemented. There are also kinds of things that we've done in some neighborhoods, and it might sound silly, but actually works. And there's a group in Tucson who goes out and they'll rent you their goats, and they'll go into your alley or easement, and 3 hours later they've kind of chewed up all the top
good.
Growth.
That's good.
So yeah, so there are options. We don't need to run to Ace Hardware and buy a gallon of Roundup every time we see some weeds in our yard. There are some things that we can do. You know, with the rains we've been having, you can pull them. They're easy to pull out too. So Roberta's right. There are options that we need to be pursuing. The city of Tucson is going to try to lead by example. We can't, of course, impose our pest management policy on private sector. But when we do issue contracts for people in the private sector to go out and do maintenance on City of Tucson property, we can certainly require that they follow our integrated pest management policy and use the organics first.
Steve Kasachek with us, Tucson City Councilman on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. In about 30 seconds, I'll be asking him about the latest on the former Benedictine Monastery. But first, what about a road trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Have you been over into that area of the Southwest, Councilman Kasachek?
Yeah, not recently, but mm-hmm. I've been there, certainly.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay, and the weather is warming up. Great time of year at that mile-high elevation, anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 feet. How about doing some exploring in the Gila National Wilderness? Again, southwestnewmexico.org. What's going on at the former Benedictine Monastery, Steve?
Right this moment, we have probably 125 guests staying there. The guests are migrant families, largely women and their kids, men and their kids. Very few intact families, by that I mean a mom and a dad and kids. These are families who are asylum seekers. They have traveled across Mexico on foot, largely under the control of traffickers, which they consider to be more safe than either traveling alone or subjecting themselves to coyotes. They've got some horrendous stories in terms of the treatment that they've received in their home countries, mostly Guatemala. And so they're here seeking asylum. When they arrive at the monastery, they're given a medical assessment. We're grateful for the volunteer medical help that we're getting from the University of Arizona and from the Banner UMC doctors and nurses. They are given food and clothing. I am grateful to the community for the donations that they continue to bring by the Ward 6 office, which is a couple of blocks from the monastery, food and clothing. And we are in daily contact with the people, the volunteers working over there, so we get them over. They're given a place to stay. So, again, we're grateful for the volunteer help in terms of setting up the rooms. As you can imagine, the monastery has lots of living quarters where the nuns used to sleep. That's where the migrants are staying now. They are given food. They are helping out in the kitchen, cooking. So, and then they're given an opportunity to connect with next of kin. When they are dropped off by ICE or Homeland Security, they have 15 days to connect with their next of kin, and they're never in Tucson. It's another place in the city, in the country. And so the volunteers working over there under the umbrella of Catholic Community Services gets them connected, gets bus tickets purchased with their own money, with their family's money. There's no taxpayer dollars involved in this. And to his great credit, Ross Rolney, the property owner who is in the middle of the rezoning process now, has opened his doors to this operation and will continue to be there as long as we can until the site is redeveloped. That process is going on. We expect we will have a public hearing on April 17th at the monastery at 6 o'clock. And at that time, the developer and his design team will present to the public what their plans are. It's open for public comment, for input. And as we move forward in the rezoning process, I expect this the migrant operation to have to kind of wind down probably late summer, early fall. And so yesterday I reached out to TOSD to see if we could maybe implement something similar in some of their vacant schools. Sadly, the need is not going to go away when the rezoning happens. There's no correlation there. So the need will continue. I'm already starting to look for alternate locations, alternate sites, and we're making sure that taxpayer dollars are not involved.
Only got about a minute left. Are you excited that the Sugar Skulls will be opening up their season, home season, at the TCC?
Yeah, so they're coming next week, and it's their first home match. They hold about 6,700 people in the TCC for at full capacity. They already won a game on the road, so they're 1-0. I've been to arena football before. It's really a sensory overload experience. If you've never been, it's something you ought to go and just experience at least once. And support the local team. We now have two anchor tenants in the TCC. We've got the Roadrunners and we've got the Sugar Skulls, and it's a good thing. It's all a part of the downtown revitalization and attracting people into the downtown core. And as you know, there are plenty of good restaurants to go to before or after the games.
The people from Visit Tucson, Brent Durad, will be on the show on Brent will be here Friday. What are you hearing? And I've got just a few seconds left. How's this? This, of course, is our banner season. What are you hearing?
They're doing a great job on Visit Tucson, and you're going to hear a really positive outlook from Brent and his folks down there. It's the city of Tucson is on an upswing, and if I were a candidate running for office, local office this year as an incumbent, I would be waving that banner, waving that flag.
Steve Kasacek, thank you very much, Councilman. I hope the rest of your day is a good one. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Steve Kasacek, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Ward 6. The program is Buckmaster. We're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're here with you Monday through Friday on Tucson's Town Square during the noon hour. Coming up next, Insider Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen right after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's time for Insider Travel Talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, serving travelers for more than 40 years. 75 Bon Voyage travel experts standing by right now. They want to, and they can. They are ready to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to see you again.
Gee, a week from last Sunday, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of those 75 travel experts at the El Conquistador Hilton Hotel. Great venue, great travel show, met a lot of great people, fellow travelers. It was a fun event.
I can honestly say it was our biggest and best ever, and that's saying a lot because we've had some successful shows in the past, but a couple weeks ago Sunday, we had close to 2,000 interested travelers that are looking for everything you can think of, from domestic to exotic to cruises to all-inclusive land vacations, and that's the beautiful thing of travel that we just love. It's so personal. Everyone has their destination, their way of traveling, their way of disconnecting. It's a fantastic industry.
People want to travel. These new numbers about the travel industry in 2018, off the chart.
Are staggering. The World Travel and Tourism Council just released some statistics about the global impact of our industry. And we talked about it a few minutes ago, and I think the listeners would find some of these stats very interesting, that travel and tourism is growing year over year at a higher rate globally from an economic standpoint. Higher than almost any industry out there, higher than the world global economy at large. So only behind financial services is travel and tourism's global impact. $8.8 trillion were spent in 2018 on travel and tourism.
And so many countries are so dependent on travel. Look at all the workers that are earning a livelihood from the travel industry. These figures talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and you think about this, where are the people employed? And in certain areas, it would make easy sense. Beach destinations. Sure. Clearly, there's a lot of jobs reliant on travel and tourism. But when you look at the world at large, 1 in 10 jobs across the world are in travel and tourism. So it goes beyond just you and I getting to enjoy our time on a vacation. Clearly, that's what we love about this industry. But it's also employing and providing support and subsistence for millions and millions of people across the globe, and in a lot of cases, creating jobs that support women and youth and other marginalized groups of society in some of these remote areas. And so that's a neat part of travel that is an offshoot of what we love that we do, is we provide great opportunities in some of these places for some people that maybe wouldn't be able to be employed, gainfully employed in another industry.
And travel and tourism now the second fastest growing part of the global economy after the financial sector. And when we talk about travel, it's not just vacations, business travel, the whole gamut there. These are people not just in the Caribbean who are dependent on travel, but in big cities as well.
That's right. Business travel makes up approximately 22% of all of the dollars that are spent. So leisure travel is still quite large. And some of the destinations that you and I would think of, European travel, it's $2.2 trillion were spent in 2018 just in Europe alone. So clearly some of those are the leaders, but it is impacting a lot of those exotic destinations as well. It really is a fantastic industry to be a part of because of its global reach. It's also an interesting industry to be a part of because of its global impact and effectiveness. So things that happen worldwide impact our industry. Ice volcano in Iceland erupts, a hurricane in Hawaii. You know, that impacts our industry. So when people ask me, oh, did that impact your company? Yes. The answer is almost invariably yes, no matter where
events,
it is.
Let's face it, that's part of the whole picture. You know, hotels, I got my issue of Travel and Leisure yesterday in the mail. It's the hotel issue, and that's an area we want to talk about. We want to talk about how we can put some of our listeners in that really kind of a dream hotel room at a beautiful resort at a reasonable price, Ryan.
Yeah, so often people think of Bon Voyage locally as your cruise outlet, the cruise or an escorted vacation, but we have tremendous partnerships with great resorts across the world. I thought I'd bring a couple to the table that we could chat about.
Who are you partnered with?
Well, we're partnered with every hotel.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Primarily the leisure hotels in the luxury sector that we have the best partnerships with, the Montages of the world, but now the hotel industry, in a little sidebar, there's a lot of consolidation in the hotel industry between Marriott and Starwood. Those are all under one umbrella now. That encompasses budget hotels all the way up to the five-star high-end boutique hotels. And it's not just exotic places that we can help you with, but a lot of people from Tucson love Cancun, love Playa de Carmen. And one of the spots I have been to personally is the Banyan Tree Mayacoba property. It's about 40 miles north of Cancun, so it gets you off of the main strip.
Right.
We love those. We recommend those off the beaten path.
But it gets you north
properties.
Of the hotel zone.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you're not in the hubbub of the tourist activity. This is truly a sanctuary opportunity, and it's a neat place. The Banyan Tree brand itself blends the Eastern culture with whatever local culture they're in. So it's a wonderful complement of the Eastern culture with the Mexico flair. And it's a great getaway. They have private villas with swim-out pools in your own villa that is gated. So you really, truly can get away. And their spa facility is world-renowned. And you mentioned Travel and Leisure. This is the number one spa in Mexico by Condé Nast Traveler.
Wow.
Is at the Banyan Tree Mayacoba.
Is this a Banyan Tree brand?
It is a Banyan Tree brand.
I learn something every day. That's why I do this show, to learn new things. I had not heard of the Banyan Tree brand. How about some other areas?
Another one, and I've spoken to you about one of my favorite properties, is the Hotel Adlon Kempinski in Berlin.
Oh, I know. You love that.
I love that property.
The Grand Dame, really, there of Berlin.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this in the past, that Berlin is a great city in Europe that often isn't traveled to because it's not as romantic in some cases, but its history is rich, and its newness is rich because of the wall coming down. It's a 30-year-old city in some cases, and so they built it in some great technology and use of space. But the Hotel Adlon Kempinski is perfectly located in the shadows of the Brandenburg Gate. If you go on the website tells you it's a 2-minute walk to the Brandenburg Gate. I would counter that with it's 30 seconds. It's that much closer. So it's a stroll to take 2 minutes. And to be in that locale is special because that was the death strip during the Berlin Wall being up. So this hotel was shut down for that entire time. It was built in 1907, so it's got some nice historical roots, shut down and renovated when the wall came down. And so you are really, truly in the heart of a historical landmark. Unlike any other.
And the Bon Voyage travel consultants have connections to that property?
Yeah, we have connections. Everyone that I've mentioned and thousands of more, we have an opportunity. You book through us versus yourself, and you're going to get amenities like a complimentary breakfast. You're going to get upgraded, so you don't have to buy the suite. You can get upgraded to the suite. How many times would you like to check out of a hotel late? But when you call down to the front desk, they say, nope, you got to be out at 11.
I know.
Many of these properties, we can pre-arrange that for you before you ever even step foot on property.
Wow.
You can get a late checkout.
Wow.
As silly as that sounds, travelers know the value of not having to sit in the lobby and wait for your airport transfer
day
you're
say
leaving.
You've got a 7 or 8 o'clock departure in the evening. If you could snag a late afternoon departure, that's huge.
Huge. And
my eyes lit up when you said that about the late departure.
You know, it's the subtleties that make or break your travel experience. So an early check-in, let's say you arrive in Paris at 8 a.m. The last thing you want to do is wait until 3 p.m. to drop your bags, freshen
you
up, and hit the
check
day.
Check in immediately.
Check in, drop your bags, take a shower, and now you want to go experience Paris. So.
Insider Travel Talk on 1030, the voice trusted local news and talk. Ryan Hansen, our travel consultant, our travel contributor with us here on the Buckmaster Show. How about any skiing destinations people want to do spring?
We teased this on your Facebook page. And so for those of you that don't follow Bill Buckmaster, I'll shameless plug for you. Get on Facebook to understand who's coming on to join you. And we love kind of throwing some ideas.
Deer Valley?
Yes, the Montage Deer Valley. There's a few properties there in Park City Park that we have City. Some great recommendations for the St. Regis Deer Valley, also the Montage Deer Valley. Don't just think ski destination. I will say it is. We feel the Montage Deer Valley is the number one ski in, ski out destination to stay at in the Park City area. So for skiing, it's fantastic. But to go in the summertime, they have great family activities. In the summertime, it's more of a residence feel to their property. So it's not like I'm just going to go to a hotel. It's a lodge, but it feels like your home.
Tucsonans love Park City. We've been up there in the early autumn. So many hiking destinations.
That's right.
There.
You get your nonstop Delta flight, Tucson, Salt Lake City. It's a 45-minute drive to Park City, or if you stay at one of these locations, it's a very minimal cost, and they'll pick you up at the airport and whisk you right up the hill, right up the mountain. It's a beautiful drive that you can't
miss.
It
really is. But I know so many of my friends are skiers. They love to do the skiing thing. So you've got some great ideas in that
area. That's right.
As
and skiers that are experts that love to go, they understand the value of a ski in, ski out property. Not just getting to a lift, which they have those, but to just literally they take care of all of your equipment right there at the property at the hotel. So you're not dragging it to and from the lift. You are right there, and that just makes your experience on the mountain that much more exciting and fun.
All right, Ryan Hansen, it's always a pleasure. Best starting place, bvtravel.com, or give any of the consultants a call. Say you heard Bill Buckmaster and Ryan Hansen talking about some great hotel properties. So your folks are knowledgeable. They've been in these places. They can get those dreams headed in the right direction.
You bet. We're waiting to help you get those dreams come true.
Thank you very much, Ryan. We'll talk to you in April. I'm really looking forward to you'll be hosting a whole travel show. I'll be actually in the Barbados that day, the island of Barbados. We'll be talking about that in May when Ryan does a full hour here on the Buckmaster Show, Insider Travel Talk, and then I'll be contributing from the Caribbean. Thank you, Ryan.
I'm going to go hop on my e-scooter and take it back to the office. Just kidding, Steve Kosacek.
Oh, yeah, there you go. All right, Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on this Ash Wednesday. Also, what is going to turn out to be the warmest day of the year, pushing into the mid-80s now in the Tucson area. Zocalo, oh my goodness, what beautiful material they have over at Green Things. For years, Zocalo is located over near Country Club and Broadway, all that great collection of antiques, fine arts, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, all sorts of gifts. Well, here's what happened. Zocalo is now part of the Green Things family. So there is a whole Zocalo village, five different freestanding buildings that are on that 13-acre site over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And so it's you can get all of your plants, your amazing 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. I'll probably be going over there on Saturday. Need some, get some spring plants in the ground now that things are really warming up. And also, it's an opportunity to get your plants and also check out Zocalo for all of your that extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery that they have is really amazing. Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things, have just done a beautiful job on their property at Green Things. You can find out more at greenthingsaz.com. Also, there is a website, zocalovillage.com. Our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the SARSEF. That is the big science fair that is coming up. Our guest is just, I am told, just moments away, driving into the KVOI broadcast complex. In fact, Bob Dio, my fine engineer producer, will be going out front to try to direct her in. SARSEF began as Arizona's first science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, the STEM program, in 1955. The primary program was the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, which has been renamed the Southern Arizona Research Science and Engineering Foundations Fair. Well, over the years, the fair grew to be so large that SARSEF had to leave its previous home at the University of Arizona and move to the Tucson Convention Center in downtown Tucson. So coming up this weekend is the big science fair. Joining me in studio, Margaret Wilch.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank
board
you.
Member with SARSEF. How long have you been involved with SARSEF?
I've been a board member since about 2000. So
really?
A long time.
Why did you get involved? Did you have kids that were involved with the science fair?
In a sense, I had many children involved with the science fair. I was a teacher at Tucson High Magnet School. I just retired last year after 26 years. So since 1995 until last year, I prepared students to attend the science fair. So since 95 until last year.
And it's grown. I mean, let's talk about the upcoming fair. And this is the part that will be open to the public. This will be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, this upcoming Friday, day after tomorrow, at the Tucson Convention Center Exhibition Halls. Tell us a little bit about this year's fair.
Oh, it's really amazing. You mentioned how much it's grown. The first year I took students, there were 25 high school projects. This year, there's over 300. The fair itself has 2,147 projects.
Wow.
And that goes pre-K through 12. So we're one of the only fairs, or the SARSEF fair is one of the only fairs that includes pre-K through 12. And the work that you would see, I hope you come down to the Tucson Convention Center and see it, but the work that you see represents over 6,000 students and classrooms. Some of them are class projects, some of them are team projects and individual projects. So it's really amazing.
What are some of the areas that these young people tackle? I understand Parkinson's was last year.
Yeah, there was a young man, I think it's been 2 years ago, okay. Jeremiah Pate.
Uh-huh.
He worked at a research lab at the University of Arizona. There's a lot of collaboration with the University of Arizona, which is fantastic. And he did identify a small molecule that had that was effective against some of the symptoms of Parkinson's in the research model organism, the Drosophila. And he won best of category at the International Science and Engineering Fair and represented Southern Arizona at the Nobel Prize ceremony a year ago.
That's
Isn't
fantastic.
That fantastic? I know. And people don't know about this. It's the young people come up with the most amazing projects, and SARSF provides them an amazing venue to share their thinking and their creativity and their scientific research. It's wonderful.
Did you say pre-K?
I did.
Some of these really young kids, they come up with science ideas.
They do. I believe if mm-hmm. there is a project, a pre-K from the international school where they wanted to look at if bananas could float.
Whoa.
And they checked it out, and apparently they can.
Whoa.
But then the bananas turned brown, so the young scientist said, will they still float when they've turned brown? And they do.
Very cool. So are the kids getting more interested in science? You've been involved in this field for many years. Is it growing, the interest, or are we upstream?
I think that there's probably always been a strong interest in science, but I don't know that we've always given students the opportunity to do science, to think like a scientist and do what a scientist does. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is a difference. And, you know, the state of Arizona just adopted new state standards, which will engage students in much more what they call multidimensional learning and thinking. It will help them, I think more like scientists and maybe produce even more outstanding projects to be taken to the science fair in the future. So,
as a kid, did you get involved with science fairs?
I didn't. I grew up in Iowa. And
do you
wish
you had been involved?
Well,
or not?
I did not get involved in science fair, but I will tell you, my high school biology teacher had us always doing research. He taught all of his classes as sort of research rather than just straight lecture or worksheets and things like that. We got out in the field. We asked a lot of questions. So,
Margaret Wilch is with us, board member of SARSF. And for folks that don't know, that is the acronym for Southern Arizona Research, Science, and Engineering Foundation, the big fair. Is open to the public to check out these projects this Friday.
This Friday. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, too, that Friday night from 8 to 5, we'll have something called Future Innovators Night, so the Fin Night, and we'll have, 50 different exhibitors having scientific activities for children. And adults. There's a raffle. You can walk around and see all the projects. It's just a whole lot of fun, a big celebration of science and engineering.
Is there like a grand prize winner for the kids?
There is.
Okay. Is it for a best of fair, or is it all age brackets or what?
Well, we have two award ceremonies, so one for the elementary and another one for the middle school and high school, and SARSF gives away in total, I have to look this up, over $125,000 worth of scholarships and prizes. And so there are scholarships to the U of A. I believe some of the corporate sponsors like Raytheon generally give a sizable, couple $1,000 scholarship to high school students. And
is there an admission charge for the public?
For the public, no.
Okay.
And if I have a second,
sure, go ahead,
I'll add that.
About 30 seconds.
Okay. There are students selected from SARSF at the high school level to go on to represent Southern Arizona at the International Science and Engineering Fair.
Where is that?
This year it's in Phoenix, so I would invite the public to go check that out because that is astonishing. There will be like 1,700 projects from over 70 countries and territories from around the world. It's awesome.
So there are the opportunities then for some of these award winners to move on.
Absolutely.
To bigger and better things.
Absolutely, right? And it's a fabulous opportunity. ICEF is a life, well, SARCEF and ICEF are life-changing events.
Margaret Wilch, I'm glad you made it. Good to see you.
Thank you so much, Bill.
That's going to do it. On 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Steve Rivera with his sports program, Eye on the Ball, is coming up next. On behalf of Margaret Wilch, with me in studio, I'm Bill Buckmaster and Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Great job as usual, Bob, engineering and producing. Hope everybody has a good afternoon and evening. Be safe out there.